Okay, thank you, Mr. Wes Tuttle. That was Wes Tuttle at the piano, and most appreciative. Let's open the Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. We're in John. We're in the Gospel of John. We're in Acts by way of John. Talked to Jim Langston about having Julie separate and give it a different title in the internet, like the Garden of Gethsemane, the arrest, the trials, and different things like that. And we're going to try to do that on the internet. And we're in a study of Acts, and we got a very important study to do tonight, so let's get with it. As far as our prayer, please be in prayer for Thomas. Be in prayer for Mackenzie Wise. And I'd like you to add to your prayer list my granddaughter, Mackenzie Young, she's about the same age as Mackenzie Wise and started having heart problems, the same age. And so this evening or this late afternoon, she went in for the same test that Wise did, and I haven't heard any really report on that, so I'm waiting to hear that. But please be in prayer, because her school did some testing, and they were really concerned, very concerned about it. And she's a very athletic. She was ranked third. This was last week. She was ranked third in the entire Metroplex for girls basketball scoring. And she was third. And when you consider some of the high schools in this area, that's pretty impressive. And she was 20th on 3 points. And so I just have to be in prayer for Mackenzie Young and Mackenzie Wise. And okay, let's begin with the word of prayer here. Any other prayer requests before we go on that I'm not aware of or anything? Okay. All right, let's begin with the word of prayer as we go into the word of God. Father, your Spirit has taken us on so many journeys, getting Jesus Christ to the cross, going through the crucifixion, and now between death and burial. And one of the things that happened was the rending of the curtain in the temple, and that brought us, Heavenly Father, to our study in Acts with the coming of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see tonight. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And let's look at verses 4 and 5. And gathering them together, Jesus Christ, talking about the disciples, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. As a matter of fact, about 10 days after the ascension and session of Jesus Christ. Now, all this had happened. What happened that we read in Acts 2 from heaven, and the wind, the sound of the wind, and then the tongues like fire was realistic, was emphatic, historical, and there was no way that any of these men would not understand this is what Jesus Christ was talking about. Now, with that in mind, I'd like you to go with me on a little Bible drill. Let's look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. If you're a note taker, you want to get these down and go back and examine them in more detail than what we're going to do here tonight. Luke chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 16. Luke 3:16. John answered and said to them all, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So that's pretty powerful. Now let's look at John chapter 14. I'm sorry? And fire. Well, we're going to come to all that. Good. All right. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And let's read together 16 and 17. Jesus Christ speaking to the same group of men. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Paracletos, that he may be with you forever. That is, not a human being like me, but spirit, of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Now, with that in mind, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. Let's do a little Bible drill, put together a lot of passages, and then we'll come back and work on them. Not individually, but as the whole picture of what's going on. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's note verses 12 and 13. For even as the body is one, the human body is one, yet has many members, arms, legs, so forth, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, this is a different word. Not baptized, to drink. There's a lot of things we're going to have to kind of put together an understanding of what happened on the day of Pentecost. And here it talks about drink. And we know they didn't drink anything. And we don't drink anything to receive the Holy Spirit. So what's going on with that one? Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 18. For through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. Okay? Now chapter 4 of Ephesians. Chapter 4. And let's read 4 through 6. 4 through 6. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So we're going to have to put this one with us. Now one more. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. If you're not sure where it is, find the book of Revelation. Go back past Jude and you'll come to 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. You are 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to look at the last verse in the chapter, verse 24. And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So these are the pertinent passages that deal with what we're looking at as far as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Go back to Acts chapter 2. Yes. And the commandments are in that passage. Faith and love. Okay, let's go back now to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to start tonight concentrating on verse 4. 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Okay. Now, what I wanted you to do at this point, something miraculous happened. This morning, we had 12 knuckleheads. We had 12 believers, but that was it. no power, nothing. And then all of a sudden, things started happening. I would like you to look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, I'm going to share this with you. This is not something new with me. What we're getting ready to do is what several, in fact, a lot of students of the Bible, commentaries of the Bible, do what we're getting ready to look at here. So I'm sure the Holy Spirit would have, but I got this while just reading through and putting some things together. We've already been here in our study in Daniel, but let's just read it with something else in mind. Ezekiel chapter 37, and let's begin reading in verse 1. Ezekiel 37, and let's begin in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel, and he brought me out by the Holy Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. Now this is just a fascinating study. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. That means no life. They are dead bones. And dry bones and dead bones and dead bones. All right. And he said to me, he being the Lord, Son of Man, title of Ezekiel, can these bones live? And I love Ezekiel's answer. I'd like to think I was this wise, but I'm not. And we would all want to be this wise. Look what he says now. The Lord says to him, can these bones live? And I answered, oh Lord God, you know. I love that. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He didn't say I think so. He just said, you know. So I love the answer. I don't think that would work on Leslie passing taking a test. And the teacher asked a question, and she writes, you know, and I don't think that would work. But it's a great answer from Ezekiel to the Lord. You know. Verse 4. Again he said to me, prophesy over these bones. Now, let me just, I'm going to have fun. We're not in a big hurry tonight. I've taught sometimes some of the classes in 41 years where I thought everyone was pretty much dead. I thought everyone was pretty much out of it. And old Bob gets over there asleep, and just different things would happen. And I just kind of went, Lord, are they here? Are they alive? They lick. So I could get a feel of how Ezekiel felt. Preach over these bones. Can you imagine that? Prophesy over these bones. Okay. So that's the things to do. Again he said to me, verse 4, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, through Ezekiel, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. And I will put sinews. These are the things like the tendons and things like that in our body on you. Make flesh grow back on you. Cover you with skin. And put breath in you that you may come alive. And you will know that I am the Lord. So, Ezekiel, being a good man, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a rattling. And the bones started coming together, bone to its bone. And I think all of you know the bone, the old bone story. Ankle bone connected to the knee bone. Okay, anyway. That kind of deal. James, have you ever heard that? Woo! All right. Okay, so verse 7, a rattling, and the bones started coming together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, tendons and ligaments, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. I mean, just imagine Ezekiel seeing this. I mean, it's just things that we hear about going on in the Word, just amazing. And we studied how the disciples that morning, and they heard the wind and saw the fire and tongues as a fire. And it just, the Lord does amazing things in our lives. Verse 9. Then he said to me, the Lord said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath. Now, this is amazing. Breath? I'm prophesying to you, breath? I mean, my goodness. That's just something to tell him to prophesy to the breath. All right, verse 9. And say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So, I didn't question. Yes. Breath is the word for spirit. Yeah. Yep. Well, in this case, it's the living breath. It's the God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breaths of lives. Breath, physical life, and then spiritual life. So this, I think, is physical life. Oh, yeah, it can. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. All right, good. All right, let's see here. Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they came to life, and stood on their feet as an exceedingly great army. I'm sure they were looking at Ezekiel, wondering, who in the world is that? Ezekiel was looking at them, and it just must have been a wonderful thing. I hope, John Henson and I talked about this, if man can do this, certainly God can come up with something even better than DVDs. We hope that God has videoed all this stuff. Videoed the creation of the world. Videoed the flood. Videoed things like this. So that you go to the big library in the sky and check out and just sit down and look at it. And yeah, exactly. Very good. All right. So now I doubt that he did, but anyway, it'd be nice. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came unto them, and they came to life and stood on their feet. And an exceedingly great army ready for battle. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this time he's talking to Israel, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. Now, this isn't too outstanding. It's what's going to happen to us. Those of us who are in a grave, he's going to call us, sound of the trumpet, voice like the sound of a trumpet, will come up. Yeah, that's what I'm going to make the spiritual application, yeah. Okay, verse 13. Thus you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. And I will put, my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done this, declares the Lord. Okay, like John is saying, the picture here of Ezekiel 37 fits so perfect with what we're seeing in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, a new spiritual creation is about to begin, is now being formed, and comes to spiritual life that they did not have before this occurrence. They were saved. They were saved. But now, by the coming of the Holy Spirit, they are going to be transformed into a new spiritual creature. This morning, before these 12 men received the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit, they were dry bones. But now, by the Holy Spirit, they are made alive, new spiritual creatures. And people, every minute that you and I are out of the Holy Spirit, we're dry bones. That's what we are. We're dry bones. No matter what we're doing, singing, praying, giving, having fun, whatever. When we're out of the filling of the Spirit, we are dry bones. When we put our faith in the Holy Spirit, we are made alive. We are made alive by the Holy Spirit. And people, that's why I like what we've been doing for years now. Salvation 1, Lewis Berry Chaper, He That Is Spiritual, chapter 7. Our salvation, eternal life salvation, is a pattern of our spiritual salvation. In Salvation 1, eternal life salvation, we were dead. By faith, we were made alive. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, when we're out of fellowship, we're dead. How are we made alive? By faith. Not by anything we do, not by repentance or confession or anything. It's by faith. Just as it was over here. It's over here. We're made alive. By faith. It's a beautiful pattern. Now, all in this room are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have already noted what is happening here in this room with our to these disciples, and maybe there are others. Well, I'm not going to get into a battle on that. But let's go back now to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Now, we read part of this at the beginning tonight. We're going to do this again and again because it's so important what's happening to understand the relationship. So let's read Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1 this time. The first account I compose, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Now, this tells us who he's writing to his friend Theophilus, until the day when he was taken up, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. People, please remember, throughout his public life, Christ did things by the power of the Holy Spirit. Love one another as I have loved you. If he said that from his deity, there's no way we could do that. It would be a foolish command. If he loved by his deity, because we are not deity, it would have been a ridiculous command. If he loved by his perfect being, because he was perfect, it would be foolish for us, because we're not perfect. I'm sorry, James, but you're not. I know your dad told you, but we're not perfect. So we could not love as he loved. But if Jesus Christ, since Jesus Christ, loved by the Holy Spirit, and we have that same Spirit, pow, now we can fulfill the commandment to love one another as I have loved you. And that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this just confirms what we have seen so many times. Now, verse 3. To these, he also presented himself alive. The 12 men, 11, Judas is gone, Judas Iscariot's gone, after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days. Okay, what is Acts chapter 2? Day of Pentecost. 40 days, 10 days between this day and the day of Pentecost, that's the 50 days. Pentecost means 50, it's the day of Pentecost. It's I just want you to stay in line with what we're reading here. Verse 3, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. So this is primarily a Jewish presentation. Verse 4, and gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. Now, verse 5, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And that is what we just witnessed in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 3. Now, let's concentrate on the phrase, for John baptized. The King James says, for John truly baptized with water. And that truly is in the original manuscript. The Greek construction flows, show you how the Greek construction flows here, from verse 4. Gathering them together, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. Because John indeed baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, John indeed baptized. Now, what is this? I forgot to put up the projector. I meant to do that, but I got here and got involved in singing. All right. This is an aorist active indicative of the Greek word baptizo. B-A-P-T-I-Z-O. Baptizo. Now, first thing I want you to know is that this is a transliteration in your English Bible, whatever your translation is. It's a transliteration, not a translation. We have noted that the very important word Christ is a transliteration, not a translation. We have noted that in speaking of the Holy Spirit, translated helper, very weak and misleading translation. I looked up other translations, a whole list of them, and I made a list of the things that they said. Some said helper, talking about the Holy Spirit. Some said advocate, comforter, counselor. And the one I really liked was the Aramaic Bible put into English, Redeemer. And that's beautiful. Now, the problem. The Greek word means all of those. Parakletos means all of those. It means that he is the helper, he is the comforter, he is the advocate, he is the counselor, he's a redeemer, and so much more. So, we're going to transliterate, not translate. We're going to transliterate this when it appears referring to the Holy Spirit as in John 14. Let's look at John 14 very quickly. John 14. John 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, if you have the NASB with marginal notes, what does it have in the margin? Parakletos. In the margin. That's what it has. And I have no problem. If we can say Christ, if we can say baptize, we can say parakletos for the Holy Spirit. Because it's such a more, much more rich word. And so, since we, yes. Yeah. So we're going to call him Parakletos. In your Bibles, in ASV margin, So I have no problem in doing that. Now, look at verse 26 of John 14. Verse 26. But the Parakletos, that is the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 15, verse 26. When the Parakletos comes, whom I will send to you. And people, if the word Christ means something to you, Parakletos should mean something to you too, after all that we've done in our studies of it. It's an extremely rich word describing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And finally, look at chapter 16, verse 7. It seems like a what? Well, the point is, how many understand Christ? I know it. I'm going to help you get used to hearing it. I don't like helper. And all the other words fall short of all that he is. The what? Parakletos. The what?
Sustainer.
Well, yeah, that would be part of it, most of it, but not all of it. Yeah. Well, God the Holy Spirit, but we're working on a word in the text. Yeah, we're working on a word in the text. Okay, let's. By the way, that's just me. If you like helper, go at it. If you like sustainer, if you like, you know, whatever. To me, as I studied, Christ, baptism, Parakletos, they're transliterations. They're not translations. They're not designed to be translations. They're designed to be transliterations that convey all the richness. The word Christ covers five or six columns in a Greek lexicon. It involves all of that. So how are you going to come up with one word to translate Christ? The anointed one, that's fundamentally what it means. But boy, it means so much more than that. Christ means so much more than just the anointed one. It's my Savior, my friend. So, these things. All right, chapter 16, verse 7. And I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. But if I do not go away, that is his ascension and session, the Parakletos shall not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Okay, so when I do it, it's going to be Parakletos, whatever you'd like, that's fine. Now, we have three words that are not translated in our vocabulary. Christ, baptize, Parakletos. They're not translated. Christ and baptize, you're very familiar with. And you feel comfortable with the transliteration. We know that Christ translated fundamentally means the anointed one, the Redeemer. And a lot of different words would come under that. Now, let's take a look at the Greek word transliterated in your Bibles, baptizo. That's the Greek word that we're looking at, baptizo. All right, let's take a look. Roman numeral 1. Meaning of the Greek word baptize. Baptizo. Baptizo, first of all, extra-biblical writing. Not the Bible, extra-biblical Greek writings. The Greek word baptizo was used in various contexts by various extra-biblical writers. For an example, the great historian Xenophon, and I never forget one time I was going with Bill and Marianne Stoyer. Some of y'all might know them, remember them, and we were on a plane going to Europe, and Marianne said, "Do you have any good?" She knew I was bought things to read. "Do you have any good thing in there to read?" I said, yeah, I got some really good stuff. And I pulled out Zonovan. She looked at it and she said, thanks a lot. Threw it back at me. But it's just a great history book. And the 4th century B.C. tells of Spartan soldiers from Sparta. Soldiers dipping their spears into pig's blood before going to battle. Now, they took the and they dipped the spear, pointed the spear into pig's blood. This was done, a lot of things going on here, to identify their spears with blood. That's the first thing, with death. Then, why the blood of a pig? That is their view of their enemy. Their enemy is pigs. Their spears are now identified with their blood, and in their thinking, the nature of that spear has, this is very important, the nature of that spear has now changed. It is now identified with blood and changed from a hunter's to a warrior's spear. It no longer is a hunter's spear hunting in the forest. It's now a warrior's spear. This dipping into blood was referred to as baptizo, meaning to put into, to identify with, to immerse, spear and blood. No water involved here. Okay, that's Xenophon. Now, Euripides, in the 5th century B.C., used baptizo to describe a sinking ship. As it sinks, the ship is so identified, baptized, or we would say immersed, with water, and no longer floats. Baptizo was also found in ancient Greek literature, connected with the phrase, quote, over head and ears in debt, translation of the Greek phrase. This phrase also gives the idea, this is being baptized, over head and ears in debt. Ideal of being completely identified, placed in union with, submerged in debt. So, these are some of the uses. Now, point two. Remember, this is a transliteration. So before we go to the Greek, let's take a look at Webster. Webster's Dictionary. Sometimes people play the game, if you had to get out of your house, what 3 books would you take? Well, of course, Bible's one. But I'll tell you right now, one would be the dictionary. Not my great big one. I wouldn't be able to carry that sucker. But my collegiate dictionary. It's very important. I'm trying to teach my grandchildren right now. Look it up. Look it up. Stay with the dictionary. So let's see what the Webster's Dictionary has to say about this word. Baptism. 1A. A Christian sacrament marked by ritual use of water and admitting the recipient to the Christian community. So, 2 things. It's a ritual use of water and it demonstrates the recipient to the Christian community of the person. B. A non-Christian rite using to bring one into a society. 2. An act, experience, or ordeal by which something is purified, sanctified, initiated, or named. In seminary, Dr. Pentecost, brilliant scholar, wonderful man, just an unbelievable man in his, in a, as, a, as an individual, a person, and he said that what you could do if you didn't have water, give them a new coat, give them a new shirt, give them a new suit. And he says that's the same type of demonstration of what we're doing. You're new now. You're new in Christ. And that would be the same type of deal. Yes, sir. Was John's baptism with water referring to what? Well, I'm going to come to it in detail, but that is definitely what it means. That's exactly what it means. And I think the way we are going to see that is that, and that's why I started with the Acts passage, Acts 1, because Christ said, I baptize with water. I mean, yeah, but Jesus Christ, will baptize with fire, with the Holy Spirit and fire. So it's identification, being identified with water, being identified with fire. So this is what we have. Now, continuing Webster, ritual baptism by a gift of the Holy Spirit, often used in allusion to Acts 2:3. Well, this isn't from Webster. I threw that in. All right. Secondly, from Webster's dictionary, to purify or cleanse spiritually. This is from Webster, especially by a purging experience. It means B, to initiate, to give a name to, as at baptism. All right, so even in English, the word is not always associated with water, but more often with things or events. Point three, in basic biblical meaning, Greek lexicons, to put or place into, comma, to identify with, to immerse. In itself, still reading the lexicon, baptism is a dry word. When you read the word baptize or baptism in the Bible, it does not always refer to being associated with water. And you have to be careful and stay with the contextual meaning as to what's going on. Now, Roman numeral 2. There are at least 7 baptisms in the Bible. Only 3 involve water. There are 7 baptisms. Only 3 involve water. 1, and I'm not going to explain them, just list them. 1, baptism of Moses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. 2, baptism of the cup. Matthew 20:22, Luke 12:50. Yeah. 3, baptism by the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:5, Romans 6:3-4, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Ephesians 4:5, chapter 4, verse 5. Galatians 3, 26 through 28. Galatians 3, 26 through 28. So we have baptism of Moses, baptism of the cup, baptism by fire, by the Holy Spirit. And in 4, baptism of fire. Matthew 3:11. Matthew 13:25 and following. Luke 3:16. After Jesus Christ comes the second time, after the battle of Armageddon, there will be 2 baptisms of fire. Baptism of fire for unbelieving Gentiles. Baptism of fire for unbelieving Jews. Okay. Now, 3, the remaining 3, that's 4, involve water. 1, baptism of John, Matthew 3:1-11. Gospel of John, 25-33. Gospel of John, chapter 1, 25-33. Acts 19, 2-4. Baptism of Jesus, Matthew 3:13-17. Baptism of John, Matthew 3:1-11, baptism of Jesus, Matthew 3:13-17, and then 3, baptism of believers, Acts 2:41, Acts 8:26-40, Acts 2:41, this is the baptism of believers, Acts 2:41, Chapter 8:26-40, Chapter 10:47-48, 1 Corinthians 1:13-17. Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 3. Water baptism of believers started before Jesus' public ministry, before Jesus was publicly identified, and therefore certainly before the church age. Where did water baptism begin, and why did water baptism begin? Water baptism began with John, the forerunner of Jesus. It doesn't go all the way back into Old Testament history. Water baptism began with John, the forerunner of Jesus. Why? Why the ritual of water baptism? Subpoint 1, John chapter 1. Let's go to John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. Why? Why water baptism? Huh? Advertisement. That's it. All right. John chapter 1. You know, you say that. I grew up in a wonderful, wonderful Baptist church, and up in the front on the right hand side over here was a plaque, and it had last Sunday's attendance, last Sunday's offerings, and last month's baptisms, and all this. And I'll never forget my wonderful old grandpa. I can't wait to see him in heaven. We'd go over to his house on Sunday afternoon, and you paid attention, because he's going to ask, what was the sermon about? How many people were in church last week? What was the offering? How many were baptized? I mean, we just knew it. He sat there with his cigar at the lunch table or at the dinner table, and he'd ask those questions. And boy, we knew the answer after a while. We better know that. So you had to start listening to the preacher, because you knew Grandpa was going to ask you what it's about. Okay. John, let's look at why. Why baptism? John chapter 1, verse 31. And I did not recognize, I, John, forerunner of Christ, did not recognize him, Jesus, but in order that he might be made manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. That's why water baptism. I came baptizing in water so that he might be manifested to Israel. So this ritual began so that John would identify who the Messiah was. That's interesting. Look at Matthew chapter 3. That's why I ask, if you're a note taker, write these down, because we're just reading through them quickly, and it's a lot of fun to go through and compare and see what we're doing here rather quickly. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17 is what we're going to read. 13 through 17. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee, that's way up north, at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. Jesus came to John to be baptized by John, who was baptizing. Verse 14. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? This is the first, if we want to look at it, prevention, trying to prevent Christ from his ministry. It's amazing how believers get in the way of what God wants to do. Okay, verse 15. But Jesus, answering, said to him, permit it, at this time. For in this way, it is fitting for us to fulfill, for us, you and me, to fulfill all righteousness. Well, being good, he permitted him. And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water. So, if we're going to fight about whether it was immersion or sprinkling, came up out of the water. So, this is where we have it. After being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. Now, remember in Acts chapter 2? From heaven, that sound came in. So this says, from heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now let's compare that. Just remember what you just read. Go back to John chapter 1 now. Let's read 31 through 34. John 1, 31 through 34. As we're kind of comparing. If I had overhead, I'd have one side of the screen one and one side of the screen the other. Okay, John chapter 1, 31. I love this. And I, John the Baptist, did not recognize him. That's amazing. He did not recognize as Jesus as the one he's been prophesying. Recognize him. But in order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. Right? And John bore witness saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. People, this is just powerful stuff. This is just unbelievable what's going on. I did not recognize him. Forerunner of Jesus Christ, didn't recognize him. No, he may have seen him. Well, I'm sure he did, because he knew he was a holy man. So, but he didn't know that this was the Messiah. He did not recognize him as the Messiah. He recognized him as his friend that he knew, but not as Messiah. Yes. Well, no, he did not recognize him as the Messiah. He recognized him, but not as the Messiah. Oh, are you talking about those words? He just recognized he was a holy man. I don't know who it'd be, but, you know, if say, Dr. Pentecost is now in heaven, were to come to the door, I'd say, you be up here speaking, not me. You're Lewis Berry Chaper. I'm going to sit down and listen to you. I want to listen to you. So that's the same type of thing he was saying to this man Jesus. But he had been told that when you see the Spirit come down, that's him. And so that's why he was baptizing, so that he would identify the Messiah. Is this clear to everyone? Anybody misunderstanding? Yeah. He did not recognize him prior to that as the Messiah. The Matthew passage talked about how he did not recognize him as the Messiah. He recognized him as a holy man, but not as Messiah. Yeah. When Jesus came to be baptized, he said, no, look, I should be baptized by you, not baptizing you. And Jesus said, no, permit it, because Jesus knew that's how the God, the Father, was going to identify him as the Messiah. Have this Holy Spirit descend upon him like with a dove, as a dove. Well, that's why we're reading them together. No, it's the same time. No. No, that's what I was trying to erase, that kind of confusion that was doing that. So, if we look at Matthew 3, 13 through 17, compare it with John 1, 31 through 34. John 1, 33. I, John, the forerunner, did not recognize him. This is interesting. He's been talking about him, but he did not recognize this is the one he's been talking about. But he, this is God the Father, who sent me to baptize in water, said to me, he, now referring to Jesus Christ, upon whom you, John, see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is the one, Jesus Christ, who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Let me read now Matthew 3:16. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he, John the baptizer, saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. Yes. Well, I'm trying to show how they're run parallel to each other and what's going on. Now, well, he didn't recognize him as Messiah. He recognized him as a holy man. Huh? Okay, the best example I can get is if Lewis Berry Chafer will walk in, I say, you come up and teach, not me. I want to sit down and listen to you. So John saw this holy man, Jesus, and he said, you, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You baptize me. And Christ said, no, permit it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So that's what he was. That's why he said what he said about Jesus and in the Matthew passage. So if you look between now and next Wednesday night, our time has run out. I hate the clock. I'm going to show to my grandchildren when I wake them up at 7. When you compare Matthew 3, 13 through 17, John 1, 31 through 34, and just read them carefully. Have two Bibles open and just read them side by side. I think you'll be able to see what's going on. And this is what's happening in Acts chapter 2. And that's where we'll pick it up next Wednesday evening. Aha! Thank you so much. Been in your time on Facebook, not in the book. Yes, sir. That's coming up to my points on why he did that, and that was one of them. John's baptized was baptizing one so that he'd find the Messiah. Secondly, Jews that listened to him said, yes, I believe he's coming, and so they would be baptized for that. And then three, baptized them as a purification from the law to the grace. And so he felt that Jesus did not need to be. Got that coming up. Okay? Alright? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Any other questions, though? I love this. Alright, let's close in a word of prayer. Wait. lung cancer, head cancer, and bone cancer. Yeah, thank you. So let's put Eve on our prayer list. All right, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. Pray your Spirit will give us wisdom and understanding what's going on with John and Jesus, what's going on with Jesus and the disciples, what's going on with the disciples in the upper room in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. That we'll correctly understand these things, Father. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to this. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.